Romans chapter 1. We're in verses 18 through 32. We left off at 23 last week. This first part of this section goes through 25. We hope to take that this morning and then finish out this chapter next week. The book of Romans. Begin reading at verse 17. For in it, that is in the gospel, the righteousness of God is being revealed from out of faith into faith. As it has been written, the just or righteous person shall live from out of faith. For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against or upon all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who are suppressing, holding down the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Manifest means for God to reveal it to them. For that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has manifested it to them. For the invisible attributes or the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood or perceived by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain or empty in their reasonings, and their foolish heart, that is, their heart without understanding, was darkened. While professing themselves to be wise, they became foolish. That's the Greek word from which we get our English word moron from. They became foolish. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible or incorruptible God into an image, into the likeness of an image to corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed animals, and of creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them over to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies among themselves, who changed the truth of God into the lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Serious, serious portions of Scripture. Remember the book of Romans, the first book of the teaching section of the New Testament, is the constitution of the Christian faith. Paul wrote it as a legal document in order to present all of the doctrines of the Christian faith. He wrote it to the people in Rome whom he had never seen up to this point. 3 years later, he would arrive in Rome as a prisoner, and they would get to know him that way. But a great, great teaching by Paul so that we can be established in all of the doctrines of the Christian faith. The first doctrine is condemnation. Not exactly what you want to hear. Condemnation is a legal term that means to pass sentence or judgment against somebody. Condemnation. The word righteousness, we saw in verse 17. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is being revealed. That's a present tense verb right now. Righteousness is also a legal term, and it means to be lined up rightly with somebody, to be lined up rightly with the law, to be lined up rightly with God. His righteousness has been revealed. That the only way a human being can be made right with God is through Jesus Christ. Paul said at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that Jesus Christ is our righteousness. And that we are clothed in His righteousness. We have none of our own. So the righteousness of God is currently being revealed. But it's by faith. not by works. But also in verse 18, the wrath of God is also being revealed. Same verb, present tense. Both God's righteousness and his wrath is being revealed. His wrath is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. The word ungodliness means a lack of respect and reverence for the Lord. Doing things, living life with a lack of respect and reverence for the Lord. And unrighteousness, living in a way that's not right in the eyes of the Lord. These people who are living this way, who also are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. To suppress means to hold down, to put it out of one's mind. It's still there, but block it out, to keep it away from one's consciousness. And this is what introduces us to one of the great doctrines that we as Gentiles, we do not understand. Is that to the Gentiles, God doesn't minister to the Gentiles through the law. That God ministers to the Gentiles through creation. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. So God reveals the truth. That is, that which may be known, those things that God chooses to reveal to us, is manifest in them, for God has manifested it to them. Point blank statement. How does he do that? For the invisible attributes, the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. As I said before, it's a great attention getter and brings our minds back in line with the Lord. Go out some night and we're so busy in our horizontal lifestyles, we don't have time to look up, see the vast universe. It has the Creator's design written all over it, even in our own solar system. All the planets in line perfectly. So that which may be known of God, they're clearly seen, being perceived by the things that are made, that is, by creation. And the two things about his attributes, his eternal power, that is his authority, and his Godhead. You look up in the stars, look at creation, you see the very authority and power of God. He made all of that. That's how powerful he is. And also his Godhead, that he exists as God, his deity. So that they are without excuse. No one will ever stand before God and say that they have an excuse. It doesn't make any difference if they've never heard the Bible. It doesn't make any difference if no one has ever told them about Christ or not. Is that God has manifested his authority, his power, and his deity through creation. Now that's just the beginning. After one has responded, then the Lord draws those people to, or draws people to them with the message of the gospel. I can remember in Pensacola, Florida, watching one of the electrical storms. That was my first time that I said to God, Lord, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. It was 2 years later that he saved me. Creation, through creation, he touched my heart. Another 2 years to come to know who this God is through the ministry of his word. So the people will be without excuse. You see, the point I've tried to make all these years is that there is a gray area that we, about God and spiritual things, that we know nothing about. And that's our problem. That's why we have so many differences over predestination or eternal security, because it's an area that belongs to God. I don't even know my own heart. I didn't know that I was seeking for the Lord, and all the time he was seeking for me. I didn't know that I would be saved. I didn't know that others would be lost and they would reject Christ. I still don't understand it. Why me, not the family next door? What's the difference? It's not God's choosing because of a heart condition that I don't understand. When the seed falls upon the ground is either receptive to it or it's not. God knows my heart. He knows from the beginning, while I was on the drawing board, whether I'd receive Christ or not, whether I'd be receptive. God knows me. So his power and deity was revealed through creation so that they are without excuse. No one will ever have an excuse. Well, I didn't know. As we learn from John chapter 3, Jesus said he is the light of the world. Those who have a heart for the truth will be drawn to the light. Those that do not have a heart for truth will reject the light and try to get away from the light. See, it has nothing to do with words. It has to do with the Spirit of God. Why I am attracted to the Spirit of God, I don't understand. Why some people are not attracted to the Spirit of God, I have no idea. Other than the fact that something inside of me beyond my awareness and understanding is drawn to the light. It's one of those gray areas that we just don't understand. But we do know for sure that God knows ahead of time. And God can plan accordingly if he wishes. Speaking to somebody the other day, and they talked about predestination. I said, look, even if predestination is true, what are you going to do? God makes the rules. You know? It's just the way it is. So whatever's true, that's what's going on. You're not going to be left out. You're not going to stand before him and say, you didn't choose me to be saved, and that's why I couldn't be saved. Doesn't say that in the Word. Not the way God is. He desires all to be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth. But not everybody wants it. So they are without excuse. Then he goes on to explain. Because that when they knew God, everybody, when they knew God, God's just a generic term. Every religious group uses the generic term God in their own language. Even human beings in the Old Testament, those who judges who sat on the bench amongst the Jews, they were called gods. Same word, Elohim. Because they represented God through the law. And God's laws were dispensed, supposedly, through the judiciary amongst the Jews. So even people were called gods because they were representative. It means majesty. So that's why in the courts we say, yes, your honor. It's a place of superiority and power. But when they knew God, they don't have to know his name. They don't have to know all the details. But it's for sure that everyone knows God, whether they want to admit it or not. According to our text, it's suppressed. Because when they knew God, they did two things. They did not glorify him as God. They didn't give him the honor. Didn't give him the glory. when it was real to them about his power, authority, and Godhead. And they were not thankful. The opposite of thankful, to be thankful, is to complain. We all do that all the time. Every time we complain, we're actually complaining against God because that's the way he's doing things, and we complain against it. We don't like it. According to Paul's writings, God's people glorify him and thank him for everything that he is and everything that he does. So because when they knew him, they didn't glorify him as God, neither were they thankful, they became empty in their reasonings, literal translations, the dialogues in their minds. In case you didn't sense it when we read through that there is a progression with which God's wrath, his judgment, basically says, if you, once you know God, if you back away from him and you no longer seek him or respond to the truth, God's going to give you over to corruption. He's going to give you over to corruption. So they became empty in their dialogues, their reasonings, and their foolish heart. The word foolish means a heart without understanding, was darkened. So now darkness has fallen upon their heart. They're no longer able to know the things of God or respond to the things of God anymore. While professing themselves to be wise, a lot of intellectuals who have rejected Christ that believe in various things about creation, they do not want to acknowledge where creation has come from. Professing themselves to be wise, they became foolish. Morons. Very interesting. As I shared, I think, last week, that if you ever come across someone that says the things of the Lord are foolish, you can let them know that they're in the Bible. Psalm 14:1 and 53:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Verse 23, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. One of the things they did was change the glory of God. We'll see the same word used a little later for exchange. Not just change, but exchange. I'm going to take the truth of God and exchange it for a whole different theory, a whole different belief. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into a likeness of the image of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed beasts, and creeping things or creeping animals. So man in his decay and corruption tries to replace the truth that God has revealed to them. They try to change the glory of God and try to make man and the things of man, and even the things of creation, we're going to be told, above the Creator. We have sophisticated religious systems in the world that worship pieces of wood, stone. It says in the scripture, Psalm 115, verse 8, and 135, verses 15 and 18, that man becomes like the one that he worships. And that's why the New Testament emphasizes that we're being made into the image of God. The more time we spend with Christ, the more we become like him, the more his attributes and characteristics influence our life. He gives us that example in just everyday human life. You can hang around the wrong people. for long periods of time and some of their bad habits rub off on you. You begin to talk like them and act like them, and they have an influence on your mind. That's the way God created us to be. So that when we spend large amounts of time with Him, His influence becomes the dominant influence in our life. We begin to talk like Him, think like Him, glorify Him, thank Him, because He's there with us. Verse 24, wherefore God gave them over, another legal term. God gave them up, or God gave them over, literally. It's mentioned three times in this chapter that God delivered these people over. It's the same thing as delivering somebody over to the courts for sentencing. God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts. He turned them over to their lusts. But please note, this is a deeper lust than fleshly and body lust. This is the lust of the heart, not of the flesh. It's deeper than flesh lust, heart lust. Secondly, God delivers them over into uncleanness. The word itself means to decay, to decay, to uncleanness. It's kind of interesting that the Bible uses the same word for immorality. Also for demons, demonic activities, an unclean spirit. Paul goes on to say, he delivers them over in the lust of their hearts into uncleanness to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it tells us by Paul that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. When we reject Christ, He gives us over to corruption to dishonor our bodies. In fact, Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that sexual immorality is the only sin against the body, against your own body, because it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God says, you reject me, I'll give you over to dishonor your bodies amongst yourselves. Verse 25, who changed, and this is the word exchange, replacing one thing with another. These same people that God gave over, they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Notice the definite article. John chapter 8, Jesus says that Satan is the liar. He's the father of all lies. This is the lie that Satan tells people here on the earth in the corrupt system. They've exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And they have worshiped and served the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. So they worship creation itself. Pick things out. Horoscopes. Pieces of wood. Pieces of stone. Bringing God down into our level. Worshiping a God that we create out of our vain imaginations. But they worship and they serve creatures, the creation, more than the Creator. I think that's interesting. In the Greek text, it doesn't say they do away with the Creator altogether. It's just that they worship that which has been created more than the Creator. Then, of course, Paul says, who is blessed forever. The word blessed means who's to be well spoken of forever. And then the affirmation of this. Amen. We have a chance to go into verse 26. On account of this, notice the progression of corruption. God delivers them over. It says in verse 26, on account of this, God delivered them over. Same word. Emphasizing that the degree of decay and corruption is because God has delivered them over for sentence. Remember, the wrath of God is being revealed right now in judgment. God gave them over into dishonorable passions. The Bible doesn't say that passion is wrong. It says dishonorable passion is wrong. Misplaced passion, misused passion is wrong. He says, for the females, they're females, exchange the natural use for that which is unnatural. Likewise also the males. Not using the natural use of the female. They were inflamed in lust. And this word for lust is the only time it's mentioned in the Bible. It's beyond normal. It's beyond natural. It's only found within the judgment. They were inflamed in lust toward one another, men amongst men, working out that which is shameful and dishonorable, which is necessary because of their error. We have to realize that what Paul is ministering to us is that God's judgment is being meted out to man. That if a human being, in response to the knowledge that God reveals to them, want to reject that, block it out, and be on their merry way, even to the point of exchanging it for a lie, that God will give them over to it. In fact, we're going to be told next week he's going to give them over to a reprobate mind. Reprobate means reject. God says, you choose. You receive, I'll give you a mind of reception. If you reject me, I'll give you a mind that rejects all truth. Which do you want to go? Like Pharaoh in the Old Testament. He hardened his heart when Moses came and said, God says, let my people go. So God says, okay, I'll harden your heart. Every time Moses comes in and says, let my people go, you're going to say no. It's going to bring judgment on you. Understand God's ways. Galatians, again, chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 tells us that we reap what we sow. That is a law written in God's creation. We also dictate to him. If we want to follow him, this is not a religious trip here. Christianity is not a religion. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we reject the truth of God, whatever we use to exchange that truth, God's going to give us over to it. And down the pathway that lie leads to the point of dishonoring their own bodies for the natural intent which God created them to be. All for one reason. Our bodies were made to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul said at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, take care of how you build. If anybody corrupts this temple, God will corrupt them. Turn them over to corruption. What we have in our world today is judgment. What we have in our country is judgment. And it's going to get worse and worse as people continue to reject the truth of God. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to disagree with it. It's what's happening. It's what God does. Nothing short of repentance will turn a person around. I'm not talking about turning our country around because it's individual people. Through the social means of disrespecting the things of God. That's why over the years, as we look back in church history, we ought to have been concerned and be concerned today. Is that we as Gentiles, we've made a religion out of Christianity. That if you go to church, believe in God, well, mostly what the Bible says, you know, there's some things I disagree with, but you know, I am a Christian. I believe in God. I believe Jesus died for me on the cross. But my mind and my heart is corrupt. All we've done is play church. I was reading over the internet yesterday where thousands and thousands of young people are leaving the church. One pastor even saying that it's because we have appealed to the flesh. We'd rather have them in church than out on the street. And of course, that's the better place to be. But their soul isn't being ministered to. They don't know it, but they're looking for Christ. And so they say that church is no longer prevalent in their lives, no longer applicable to their lives. So they're leaving by the thousands. One church said they had a youth group of about 2,000 kids. This year they have 350. Because the kids just basically said, rather be out in the world playing than be under your supervision and have it controlled. That's all it is. So it is true that every person, as they respond to God manifesting to them about God's deity and his power and authority, that he is real and that he is alive and that he's in control. As people suppress that and then exchange it and replace it with a God that they want to make out of their own empty imaginations. God says, fine. I'll turn you over to your God that you've made out of your own imaginations. Let your God help you. Protect you. I can remember down in Los Angeles, it's when the Taiwanese were leaving their country. They were called the boat people. And some were loaded down in the boats, and the boats would tip over and the people would drown because they didn't know how to swim. They're out in the middle of nowhere. The first response by the news people was, where's God when all of this human tragedy is taking place? And then on the front page of the LA Times on the next day was a man on his knees on a beach. He landed on and giving thanks to Buddha for saving his life in the journey. And my response to the group that night, that is why God does not intervene. Because all the praise and all the thanks goes to Buddha, not to God. And he gives them over to the one that they worship. So we need to understand, number one, judgment has been passed upon this world right now. It's not just coming in the future. Judgment has been passed already. The wrath of God is being revealed and the righteousness of God is being revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. How we respond, we dictate to God whether we'll be under his provision and care or whether he's going to give us over to whatever we're going to believe to take his place. And that will eventually lead us down a road of corruption. And God won't be there to help because we've rejected him. And as Gentiles, we need to understand these things about the gospel, about God's plan and his provision, even what's going on today. We'll finish this chapter out next week. All right, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for our time in your word. We thank you for what it reveals to us about you. It gives us understanding, first of all, that we as Gentiles, you testify to us through creation. And that either draws us to Jesus Christ or away from him. And as we come to Christ, as we come to the light, you receive us to yourself. You save us. You cleanse us. You protect us. You provide for us. But for those who have rejected the light, you deliver them over to corruption, to the very corruption that they worship, because everyone will reap what they have sown. We pray that you give us more understanding and enlightenment of your ways and the things that are happening around us, that we too might better represent the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.